You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, O God of wonders. Your power has no
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Wednesday. And I don't have any camels over here or anything to talk about humps on the camel's back, so we're not going to do that today. But I don't know if it's going to snow, rain. I probably rain, right? Rain.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking.
My friends that just recently came back from Colorado, it snowed on them while they were out there. They're like, oh, my son prayed for snow. It snowed on us. Like, well, would you have your son step outside? I know that would mess things up here in Palm City if it snowed on us today, but we have been getting some rain, I believe, the rainy season, and I saw that El Nino is coming back. Yeah?
Yeah, it's. I don't know if that's good or bad, though.
I don't know. I don't know. Dave, I'm trying to hear you, and I'm just, you're in mic four?
I'm on mic four, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have a note to start the program out with today, and that note has to do with alarms with FPL.
Yeah.
So that's kind of alarming. We have some of those huge speakers that are way up on a pole somewhere, and they start going off, and it's going to be happening coming up. Give us that little report. It's an FYI.
It's an FYI,
yep.
Because if you live in near the nuclear plant up there in St. Lucie County, every quarter they do the alarm test.
Yep.
And the alarm...
And that covers into Martin County, too. I mean,
it
covers our area.
So that this coming Thursday at noon, FPL is going to set off their sirens as a test. There'll be a minute. It'll be on the 91 sirens in the 10-mile St. Lucie plant emergency planning zone will be going off at noon for 1 minute. And then, of course, before and after, there'll be a recording telling you it's just a test.
Only a test.
Only a test, which is good. If you don't hear that recording,
run.
Sirens go off, then, yeah, I would get out of town. I would get out of the state, maybe. But at any rate, that's what's happening then.
But, you know, in all seriousness, you know, if you don't hear this is only a test, how many people actually know what to do? It's like, you know, maybe that would be a good program, Dave, you know, for us to work into our agenda here.
Yeah.
All right.
It would be.
Well, I'm so glad you're listening. This is Wednesday Live, and today we have a very dear friend and a great guest going to be with us. Robert Whitlatch. Robert, welcome to WCNO. You have been here before?
I have. Thank you, Jonathan and Dave. Thanks for having me back.
Great to have you back. Yeah. And you are, according to your paperwork, you are Associate Financial Advisor. I kind of thought like you were the Grand Poopah.
There's only one Grand Poobah. Let's be honest about that.
Yeah, we know that. But actually, you oversee the local office for Thrivent, right?
I'm one of the team members, yeah. There's actually three of us on the team. I wouldn't say that any one of us, you know, we give glory to God first and foremost, and we work for Him.
That's awesome, and that's why we have you here, actually. Yep. Somebody's going to say, what, you have like a banker guy that's in there? And like, well, yeah, sort of. So what is Thrivent? I mean, I had never heard of Thrivent up until, I don't know, I think Dave mentioned and then met your wife and chatted with her, and she actually had some relationship with us over a period of time, and
sure.
We looked to kind of maintain that. But what is Thrivent? Who is Thrivent?
Well, Thrivent is Thrivent Financial. And so for some folks, you may be seeing a few more commercials on television, for instance. And the amazing thing is we've been around for 120 years.
Wow, that's a while.
So
you don't look that old.
I know, I really don't. The thinning hair gives it a little away, a little bit, but you know. Anyways, Thrivent started out as many things did over 100 years ago as what was called a fraternal benefit society. Now, today we're still a fraternal benefit society. Not a lot of people know what that is.
I was going to say, right? Fraternal benefit society. Yeah, help us out with that.
Yeah, so it was really difficult for people to protect their families. And if something happened to the husband, who was generally the, if you will, the breadwinner at the time, and this flour mill blows up in Wisconsin, and a pastor says, hey, this is no good, because now we have to support this family, more community-based, right? The church steps in, supports the family. We have some of that going on today, too.
Sure.
Where the church steps in and helps out families. So, in essence, commercial, if you will, commercial life insurance was very pricey over 100 years ago. You had to be rich in order to buy it.
Wow.
So what they did is on these fraternal benefit societies, and there were quite a lot of them 50 years ago. They've started to weed out now. But you come together as a group, as a community, and say, everybody pitch in, if you will, and if something happens, then a life insurance policy gets paid out, right?
Okay.
Fast forward 120 years. Well, obviously, life insurance still plays a piece of the financial planning environment, but there's a lot of other things that go into that. And so a financial advisor, if you will, does a lot of what your other advisors do. We do investments, brokerage, mutual funds, you name it. We do annuities when it's applicable. We do long-term care. We do life insurance. We sit down with individuals and we talk about the blessings that God has given us and how do we utilize those.
How do we manage them?
How do we manage it, right? And I think that's what makes us first and foremost different is a mindset of, did I earn it or did God bless me with it?
Now, wait a minute. Now somebody's driving along saying, wait a minute, did I earn it or did God bless me with it? Is that a trick statement or a question?
You know, we have this belief that everything that we have belongs to God.
Everything.
Everything.
That's all inclusive.
We are called to manage it, right?
Good point.
First and foremost, you know, when you sit down with a Thrivent agent, if you will, they're going to bring that mindset to the table versus how much can we collect? How much can we, you know, are we going to go out and get rich quick? Because it truly is about, yes, God gave it to us. It's our belongings in terms of God asked us to manage it for him. But just like Job, he can take it tomorrow. And then what? Does your faith go away?
Or take us tomorrow.
He can take us tomorrow, right?
Right.
So now how does that play back in? Well, interestingly enough, a fraternal benefit society is a not-for-profit. All fraternal benefit societies are. So what that means is when you work with Thrivent Financial, you're actually working for a not-for-profit. And you're like, well, wait a minute. We still make money. The difference is, as a company, what do we do with those fees and the things like that that get collected? As a fraternal benefit society, we give back to our community. We truly, truly believe it takes a village to run a village. And so when you give back into your community, what does it do? It strengthens the community. Mm-hmm. Now, the IRS says we have to have a common bond in order to be a fraternal benefit society. Our common bond is on our life insurance, on our long-term care, on our annuity applications. The first question is, I profess to be Christian, yes or no?
Mm. Hey, wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love that.
Our common bond is, Christianity. Mm-hmm. If you identify as a Christian, we're able to work with you. And I get it. There's going to be people that, oh, what about, you know, I didn't make the rules. You know,
but I love that.
Right?
I love that. It's like, you know, the family is working with the family. I love it.
Exactly. So, you know, just know that is, and it's not everything, obviously, that we offer, because to be really, truly doing financial planning, you want to be able to get everything, right? Everything that's available. So there are some things that, you know, aren't necessarily driven by you have to be a Christian in order to work with us in this area or that area. But there are certain products, and that's what gives us our not-for-profit ability. Now, what do we do with some of those fees, some of the taxes that we don't pay? And I talked about being in the community, building up the community. And so we have several different programs that allows our members, first and foremost, the people who work with us, to give to charities that they want to give to, or to give to their church, or to give to a Christian school. And that allows, we take that money in on our fraternal side, we call it the fraternal, we take that money and the members tell us, hey, I want to send, you know, some of that over here to this church, or I want to send it over here to this charity. And that really gets, first and foremost, our members involved. The second thing we do is we actually give what we call seed money in what's called an action team. So you're one of our members. You want to help out a charity, let's say CareNet's Walk.
Okay.
It's a great, you know, it's a good Christian organization locally doing a lot of the Lord's work. I want to help out. Well, I can do an action team, and Thrivent allows me to sign up for as a member and get some seed money to help do fundraisers, to do educational events, to help out a neighbor. So I'll give you an example. 6 years ago, maybe 8 years ago, time flies, especially when you're 120. Our neighbor's house burned down, right? Well, their insurance only paid to rebuild the house, but they had no money left over for landscaping. So my wife did an action team. We took that seed money. We went and bought plants and a nursery. We got friends and family together.
Wow.
We showed up on a Saturday morning, and we landscaped those folks' yard for them.
That's amazing.
That's an action team. That's people giving back to our community, and that's people making a difference.
So just kind of parking on that a minute, because that to me was extremely unique, that whole aspect. Dave, you've been involved in this, right?
And we've been Thrivent members for 15 years now, I believe.
Action teams, have you done?
Well, we've done action teams, yeah, throughout that. Both of us get to do like twice a year, I think.
Which is absolutely amazing when you go, what, you mean the resources, the banking dollars, the can we say profit, actually
sure.
is available in a seed form to be used at the discretion of the participant with another organization or a just cause.
Yeah, so
just not that. That's awesome.
Don't keep me to it, because I'm not the CFO. We are a large organization, so exactly what goes into that pool, we could talk to the right people up at the home office. But yes, in essence, we're able to give back because of our not-for-profit status,
which is awesome. Yeah. Which is absolutely awesome.
It right.
is. So well, that's tremendous, and my wife and I have not utilized that, and I know that is a we must learn to do that this year.
It really is, and what I also love is we track the volunteer hours because of that, and there have been millions and millions of volunteer hours just through the Action Team program, and think about that. If you know, we're all doing something, we're getting friends and family together. We're making a difference, again, whether it be, you know, fundraising for a charity, whether it's helping a neighbor, whether it's education-based. Just think about if we did more of that and how strong our community would be. It's this thought, it's this idea that it really truly goes back to it takes a village, right? Mm-hmm. And it truly does. Whether it be, you know, we are to be a light in this world. And, you know, whether it's in the Christian community or the community as a whole, we are to be that light.
Yeah. So somebody's listening and they're thinking, okay, how do I get a hold? How do I get more information? How do I make contact? Is there a web page or some place that you could refer someone to?
Yeah, I mean, for our team here locally, we do have an office in Jensen Beach. I would be remiss not to remember Mark up in the St. Lucie West area. He also has an office up there. Okay. If you go to thrivent.com, and then you say find a representative, they're going to be able to put in a location, and it'll tell you. You know, there's some folks down, John and Sarah, for instance, are down in the North Palm Beach area. My team here, the Pathfinder financial team here in Jensen Beach, Mark's up in St. Lucie. We've got folks up in Melbourne. And so there are, you know, you'll get to pick and choose, you know, who's closest to you or maybe you know somebody. We do a lot in the community, so a lot of people have seen us before, but they don't know our name. So Thrivent, yeah, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Does Thrivent take the place of the local bank for someone?
I would not say, yes, we have a bank, but do we have a local branch that you can walk into? No. And so it does, you know, I always encourage people to have a comfort level of, you know, if you want to be able to walk in and talk to somebody personally, no. Do we have a bank? Yes, we do. Do I bank there? Yes, I do. But I'm very comfortable on my phone app. You know, mm-hmm. I go to an ATM. I don't get charged any fees. Doesn't matter what ATM. So, yeah, there is that. But no.
Wait a minute. You go to any ATM and you're not charged?
I'm refunded that amount by my bank.
Mm. Well, that's kind of nice. you blew over that kind of quick. But
And I'm not a bank agent. So you got to talk to Thrivent, you know, Thrivent Bank. But that's so how do we differentiate? And again, it goes back to, okay, yes, we have our daily bank, right? We have the bank that's going to take care of our deposits and our withdrawals and help us pay the bills and things like that. Where we kind of kick in as the Thrivent team is the financial planning side, mm-hmm. right? Protection, investment. And I can get more detailed there, but just like any other broker or financial person, it seems like financial advisor encompasses so much today. It's hard to kind of nail down. In reality, if you come meet with us, what we're going to ask you is, what are your goals and dreams, mm-hmm. and how do you see yourself serving the kingdom? Mm-hmm. Because that's also part of your plan, whether it be I'm working currently, I've got kids in school, all the way to I'm planning for retirement, all the way to, hey, I need to be tax efficient in retirement, right? And that's a really
important. Taxes is a big deal.
That's a really important thing. Don't get me wrong. Pay to Caesar what Caesar is due. Mm-hmm. But we can also be tax efficient at it. There are ways that we're not bending the rules here. But there are ways that you can do it efficiently, and that's part of the services that we provide to folks.
But it's possible to basically do your banking if you're comfortable electronics and such for
sure.
Completely through Thrivent. You
yep.
would not have to have other accounts, and you are able to with a debit card, charge card,
yep.
whatever, same way,
yep.
services, loans, car loans. Mortgages?
Yep. Mortgages, car loans.
Okay.
The bank does all that. I don't have the information again.
Well, that's all right, but you know it's available. It's available.
Absolutely.
There's a ton of stuff.
Yep.
In fact, I get a lot more from Thrivent than I ever can read now.
Probably.
And I don't understand all of it. I wish I did. You know, maybe one day I'll be smarter. But, Karen, have you ever worked with Thrivent at all? You have any experience?
I have no experience with it, but it's sounds quite interesting.
Mm. And look, it's not for everybody, right? Well, it's more.
Why not?
Why not? You know what? I think we all have individuals. If God made us all the same, then we'd have one of this company and one of that company and that, you know. But he didn't. God made us all different, and that's a beautiful thing, right? That's the mosaic of society. And I would just say, you know, there are some folks that come in and they say, here's where I am in life. We may give them resources to go. For instance, we have a free, because we are a not-for-profit, we have a program where they help you. It's a corporate program where they help you with debt, for instance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are we involved as financial advisors? No. But there are folks.
That's like debt management.
Exactly. Well, and they counsel. help you through budgeting.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
Because how many people actually sit down and budget nowadays? You know, what about those?
Not enough. I'll
Not
tell
enough.
You that. Right.
I've racked up credit card bills. I don't know how to get out from under them. They help you. And they're not one of these folks that call up and try and get it lowered. What they are going to help you do is understand where are my blessings being utilized. What am I paying too much for? You know, we used to have this joke when I first came on. I've been an advisor now for 18 years. You know, if all you did was cut out Starbucks every day, you could take that $150 and apply it to your credit card debt and have it paid off in X number of days or X number of months. You know, it's things like that. You know,
common sense things that nobody stops to look at, because it does add up. It really does add up.
You know, don't sue me, Starbucks, please. But I use that as an example.
An example
of,
yeah, for sure.
You know. So.
What is Festival of Giving?
Yep. So
is this one of those things?
Is it an action team? It is not an action
team. It is
team.
Not. Okay. So tell us what it is.
Sure. If you're here on the Treasure Coast, you're probably or were familiar with, because they did a great job, with the Festival of Trees and Lights. And it was actually...
Oh, yes. They have all the Christmas trees decorated. They auctioned them
exactly.
off. Exactly.
Right. Okay. So that was actually run by Tags and Teens. Mm-hmm. And they did it for
Great organization.
They did it for 16 years. I will just put it this way. There were conversations saying, you know, this is really taxing some of our organization, this being Tykes and Teens, and it takes a lot to put this on.
A lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Yeah. And in that conversation, I'm almost sure it was Christina McIntosh, who works for the Children's Museum of the Charter Coast.
Mm.
Okay. And there was further conversation, and in essence, what happened is Tykes and Teens handed over the reins, if you will, to what used to be called the Festival of Trees and Lights, over to the Children's Museum.
Now, that's located actually in a physical building in Jensen, right?
Yep.
Okay.
It's at Indian Riverside Park.
On the river.
If you've never been to Indian Riverside Park, it's over there. There's obviously the park, the little fountains for the kids there.
It's a beautiful, beautiful park.
It is.
Fishing pier and the mansion that's there, events, outdoor events.
The Tuckahoe Mansion is there. And you know, the county's doing a great job of keeping that for the public open. But the Children's Museum is located there in that area, in that park. And, the really nice thing about Festival of Giving and kind of some of the changes that happened between Festival of Trees, why is it called Festival of Giving now? And to their benefit, I mean, Tykes and Teens did a great job. Most of the resources, though, that were, if you will, collected went to Tykes and Teens.
Ah, okay.
When the children's meeting, and nothing against them.
Because they're a legitimate organization,
they are
obviously.
Truly yeah. utilizing their right. resources extremely well, right? But the children's museum said, well, wait a minute. What if we open this up not to just benefit the children's museum, but what if we open this up to benefit the community, right? So that's kind of a little bit of the name change, if you will. Festival of Trees, great, but Festival of Giving, right? Now, we actually, I'm on the committee for the Festival of Giving. We actually said, are people confused about the name, right? Or what am I giving? What is that? And the way that we kind of came back to is we're the really cool thing, and just to kind of give you, in 2025, there were 50 charities involved on the from the Treasure Coast. Okay.
In the Festival of Trees, you're saying.
In the Festival of Giving. Okay.
Okay.
There were 50 charities, and they're all local here to the Treasure Coast. Now,
that's amazing.
In 2026, you know, we still have a few spots open, which is one of the reasons I'm here today. But, you know, it could be, again, around probably 50 charities right here on the Treasure Coast. And so it's really impactful on a couple of different ways. Number one is they do get support. We'll talk about that a little bit. Every single charity that is represented at the Festival of Giving, they receive some charity work, some of the revenue, if you will, from the festival. The second thing, and this is what is, I think, really cool, is we've got some small charities doing some really good work, and this allows them to get some exposure to the public, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So that's also really important. When we think about, as a Christian, you know, we are called to go out and support the poor and make a difference in our community. It's hard sometimes to know, you know, there's so much information now, whether it be the internet or the TV or, you know, our phones or whatever. It's so hard to know what resources are out there. And
it's true.
And so true. This does really help, and especially for those of us who have a giving heart. It's interesting. It's fun to walk around and learn about these different charities.
Okay, so I own a business. I'm listening right sure. now, and I'm like, how does this actually work?
How does it work?
How does it work? Okay, so, you know, I'm a drywall contractor, let's
yep.
say, and I'd like to, sounds good. I'm not sure where the money's going yet, though, that
sure.
we raise, but what do I do?
Sure. So enter the businesses, and there is a relationship between the business world, if you will, the businesses out there, and I'll just use Thrivent Financial, right? Here we are. We're a business.
Whether for-profit or non-profit,
not
you're a
for-profit.
Business.
We yeah. are a business.
Sure.
It is my living. I make a living at doing it. Okay. As a business, I can get involved in a couple of different ways. The first thing, and I apologize, I didn't clear this first, but I'll there's a presenting sponsor, Tracy McLeod at Illustrated Properties, who actually is helping to defer a lot of the costs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? So we call her a presenting sponsor. So if you're a business and there's several sponsor opportunities, whether it be a financial sponsor, a Silver Star, we have other levels of financial that they can say, look, I want to help defer the costs. And those sponsors generally, just so you know, they help defer the expenses, and therefore that is able to allow more to go to the charities that's raised in the fundraising.
So what are the numbers? What are the numbers to an entrance level? And, I mean, where does somebody start? Somebody's saying, well, maybe I could check it out, become a part on the lower level, and
right.
maybe I'll grow into more, want to get acquainted.
Well, let me give you the second way, and
okay.
then we'll kind of go through that. The second way that a business can get involved, and this is how we got involved at Thrivent, is that we help a charity sponsor a tree. So
there are still trees.
There are trees.
Okay.
There's
okay.
wreaths, and there's centerpieces. So there's three different items.
And this is at Christmas.
This is right before Thanksgiving,
yep.
actually.
Before Thanksgiving. Yep.
So it kind of kicks off, if you will, the holiday season. And so we've got trees, reasons. So I'm here. We obviously work with a lot of charities in town because of our giving programs. And so I'll just give you one example. Miracle League of Martin County, right? Miracle League is a league for kids with autism. They play baseball.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. But they're not a huge charity. And in fact, it's run by somebody, Trevor Sherrard, who is an attorney here in town, loves the Lord. Mm. And, you know, he gives so much time to these kids.
That's awesome.
And yet he's got that full-time job, right? So they're not a huge charity. So what happens is I saw Trevor one day. I said, Trevor, here's what I want to do. I want to sponsor your tree. And I want to sponsor your tree for Festival of Giving. And what happens is Trevor gets one of his volunteers together. They give me a list. Now, I happen to sponsor a tree for them. And so they give me a list. Hey, this is the tree we want. And these are the decorations we want. And I go out as a business and I buy those for them. Mm. Right?
Okay.
That way, everything that's raised goes to them now. Right? So now that's the businesses. So you can get in if you're going to do a centerpiece or a wreath. I mean, a business could honestly $150, $200 if you're going to sponsor charity, right? All the way up to, we're more than happy. We've got sponsorships with promotion type of items up to $5,000.
Excellent.
Right? And so there's definitely that opportunity as well. Now, what we haven't gotten to is what is that fundraising? How is it that that money is able to get to these charities? And so the first thing I want to kind of talk about is this is a community event. So it's free to the community to walk around.
To come in and see and
to walk
explore
around
and enjoy.
And it's so fun. Last year, you know, there was a tree, Harry Potter tree, and there was a baseball tree. One of our local stars who pitched for the Yankees puts a tree together.
These are amazing. I have seen these. And Robert, any family would have a ball doing this.
It really would.
I mean, it is amazing.
It is just before Thanksgiving. So if you have family come in, this is a great opportunity. It's free. You can just go and walk around and get in the spirit.
Yeah, it's great.
It is amazing, and I would encourage you guys. So part of today is saying, hey, guys, keep in mind, and it runs November 13th through the 21st. Now, I don't have all the times right now. We'll talk a little bit more about, there are some special nights and some special events that happen during that time. But it is November 13th through the 21st. And there are hours, and you can go and you can do it for free. Great. And by the way, I encourage everybody to do that. And not just look at the tree, but look at the charity that tree is supporting. And get familiar with what's going on in our town here. Town community, because there are a lot of charities that are doing a lot of good work, and we probably don't know half of them. And so first and foremost, come out, get in the spirit. It's so much, the kids love it. They love to see all these trees decorated, the different decorations and things like that. Okay. Now you're walking around and you say, that's a really cool tree, or that's a really cool wreath. Or I'd love that in my house. And this is where the fundraising comes in for the charities. You can buy a ticket. And these tickets, they're $5 each. You know, I see people arm length tickets and all these kinds of. You take your ticket and you drop it in the bucket in front of the wreath or the centerpiece or the tree. That entire $5 goes to the charity.
That's awesome.
It is. So
awesome.
So that's part of it is, you know, as you're walking around, you go, wow, that's really cool. Or I know people who just show up, they get tickets, they drop them in just to support the charity, right? Hey, I've never knew this one existed. I never knew that one existed. I really want to support them. They'll drop a ticket in. At the end of this, on the 22nd, if you will, the night of the 21st, into the 22nd, tickets are drawn, and you get a phone call and says, you want a wreath, you want a tree, and you get to go pick up your newly acquired Truth and Reed.
So, because somebody's going to get pulled out of that box. Yeah,
somebody's going to get pulled out of that box. And so that's actually how that supports our
that's
local
awesome.
Charities.
That's yep. awesome. That is absolutely awesome. We're going to go to a song. We're going to be back. And Robert, with Thrivent, thrivent.com, you can go for more information and reference to Thrivent and all the various things that are available there. But really, you have come in to encourage, educate, equip us, know a little more about the Christmas season and how the community can work together, lift up the arms of others that's in nonprofits, and they really do a great job. We're going to go to the song. It is by C.C. Winans, Goodness of God, and we'll be right back in just a moment. When we come back, at some point, we want to talk about a very big problem, and that is all the scandalous ripoffs that are coming at you and how you can arm and equip yourself to be wise and not be caught by those.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so. Of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes, you have.
And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your
All right. And, of course, you know that song by the words, Goodness of God, and we have a good, good Father, that is for sure. Well, we're going to take the second half of our hour, at least a good piece of it, to Robert, address this whole area of scams. It seems that evil, it constantly is looking for a new opportunity, somebody to take advantage of.
It is rampant, and I will just say that even in the last year, what do we hear about just about every day? AI, right?
That's true. That's true.
And if you know, I am not one of these believers that says AI is evil by any means. However, AI can be used for evil, and there's definitely been a tick up of scams, of different scams, and it really is related back to the use of AI.
How does that work? Because of information that can be gathered on a large scale, or presentation, or both?
Yeah, it really is. It is in so many ways. Number one, it is absolutely easier now to go and find information about somebody. You can upload a photo and say, who is this? And AI will go out and find it, right?
Really?
And so there's that. There's, hey, I need a document created. You know, and
create it.
Now, when I tell you that some, but you can get around it if they're smart enough. You know, some of them, hey, I did this one actually because I gave a seminar on this just on Monday at one of the churches. And I actually took my wife's photo and said, hey, make a fake passport from a different country. And the AI came back and said, no. Right. So that's cool. There are some bumpers. But that doesn't mean that there aren't people out there doing that and using other different tools or whatever. So, you know, not to harp on AI, but I would say it probably has given additional tools to the scammers. And that's what you need to be aware of. You can use AI. What do we use AI for? You know, the common person puts in an email now or a letter and says, hey, check for my grammar, right? Mm-hmm. Well, one of the red flags used to be bad grammar, right?
That's true. From other nations. Yep.
You get an email and you're like, this is...
Your uncle died. Lost uncle fell off a ship in 1800. Yeah. Left you gold.
Or you could tell, English may not be your first language because you put this before that or whatever. Unfortunately, now you throw it in AI and it's
cleaned up.
It's cleaned up grammatically. Right. So, you know, that just to kind of give you an idea of how the tool is being used.
So you actually do a seminar of sorts to address this.
Sure.
So what people are going to hear in the next few moments is just a very abbreviated introduction to it. So where do you do these? Like in a local church, or you have something scheduled, something coming up?
Yeah. So I'm generally in it is a seminar put, obviously, we've talked about Thrivent so far, and this is such a big issue, scams are right now, you know, that our vulnerable adults area, which we have an entire department, said we got to put something together.
It's huge.
We have to put an educational class together. It's free. I work with several different churches in the area, and one of the churches called me and said, we've been scammed. Okay. And so basically what they did is the scammers got on their website and their social media page, figured out who their council was, the church councils, took the pastor's voice from voicemail, threw that through AI, and basically said, got phone numbers and called the council members and said, hey, this is Pastor. I'm out of town. So-and-so is at the church. I need you to give them money. And I'll make sure you get paid back when I'm back in town. Right? Now, some of the council members didn't, but some of them did. And so, you know, this is just some of the creativeness. After that happened, I shot an email out to 12 or 15 churches that I work closely with and just said, hey, by the way, if you know, somebody else in town got scammed, if you would like, I've got this free, I can come and do it. Do you know how many emails I got back that said our church has actually been scammed out of money? I was surprised. So out of the 15 emails or so, I actually got 8 pastors who wrote me back and said, we've been scammed.
Huge.
As a church.
So listen up, pastors. Coming to your city.
Yeah. So this really is educational, right? Yeah. Everybody thinks financial advisors just go around and give, you know, oh, this is...
this is stewardship.
This is investments. Or this is... this. Right. No, it's about education. It's about managing God's money. And so we have this free seminar that we'll come and do for free anywhere.
That's awesome.
And you know, we'll do it for 5 people. If it's 5 people, we'll do it for whatever, 40 people.
That's tremendous.
Doesn't matter. But it is obviously a big issue, and it's getting bigger.
I know when I look at the congregation, and I'm sure this is true in every church, we have a considerate number of people who have been hit and have lost thousands of dollars. And most of them did not recover their losses.
No.
Most of them did not recover.
You're right. And it's funny because the seminar opens up. They give me a script I'm supposed to follow. And it opens up to say, raise your hand if you've ever gotten a phone call or an email that you thought was a scam. And I'm like, that's not the question. I think the question is, raise your hand if you haven't received a phone call or an email. Because I don't know anybody who hasn't had this put in front of them.
So we have about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Rob, share with us some of the points that you just dropped that might be good for us to sharpen up a little on.
Yeah, so I think there's, and these are just a couple of the points. The first point that I would just caution everybody, and again, these are red flags or orange flags, depending on how you want, is, hey, if you get contacted out of the blue, right? If you get contacted out of the blue through phone call, email, or text, you really got to start questioning right away.
Yeah.
Right away. And I don't care who they identify themselves as, FBI, IRS, sheriff, right?
Right.
I don't care. I would actually say, and I haven't confirmed this, so don't hold me to this, but I'm guessing that if the sheriff wanted you, they're going to show up at your front door. They're not going to call you on the phone and say, hey, you know, it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
So the first point I would just say is, if you get contacted just out of the blue, you got to start questioning things, right? The second thing is, and I really, really like this one, if you have any doubt, and you should doubt if you're getting contacted out of the blue, say these simple words. I need to call, whether it be a son, a daughter, a relative, a financial advisor. I can't tell you, in the past 2 years, our office has gotten called and how many we have stopped because our member has called us and said, hey, I'm being asked for X number of dollars. And by the way, if the home office gets a call into the 800 number, guess what they do? They teams us. We're on Teams. They teams us and say, we have one of your members on the phone. They're asking for X number of dollars. And we are specifically trained to stop and ask questions about what's going on. Here's the thing. You say those, I need to call, da, da, da.
Right.
If it is a scammer, they're going to tell you, no, you can't do that. No, this is a secret. Mm-hmm. No, we're trying to test somebody. No, no, no. If they're going to fight that. Whereas a normal business, any government agency is going to go, that's fair. You need to protect yourself.
If it's legitimate,
If it's legitimate,
yes,
right? So that's a big one too. I need to call, right? And I would encourage people to do that. If you don't have a
Every time if you don't know. Every time.
And even a neighbor or a friend. Because here's the problem. They're playing on your emotions. They're going to say something to you in the first 10 seconds that are going to get you emotionally driven. It could be fear or it could be exuberance.
Mm-hmm. Either way.
One of our clients unfortunately did not call us. Publishers Clearinghouse, you won. Actually met her at the St. Lucie West Holiday Inn Express, had a check, and had balloons. And all she had to do was pay the taxes.
Wow.
Okay. That's how, I mean, they truly are. And by the way, those were what we call mules.
Right.
Those were not the actual scammers. But here's the thing, and that's another good point. If you truly get through, you think it's legitimate, okay, I get it. You've talked to somebody else. You've talked to a third party. And you're going to pay somebody. Guess what, guys? Bitcoin, gift cards, and cash are untraceable. There's other things that are untraceable. You know, there's Zelle. There's stuff like that as well. It's a little bit more traceable because of digital stuff. But understand gift cards, cash, those are a big red flag. You know, meet me in the bank parking lot. Meet me at the Walgreens. Meet me. No, I'm going to walk into if it's the IRS or the FBI. First of all, the IRS, they're going to do it differently anyways. They're not going to ask you to bring it to the office, right?
Right.
Oh, it's the FBI. Great. I know there's an FBI office in West Palm. Let me get down there. No. No, yeah. Oh, we're so anyways, let's see what else of the red flags. Racking my brains. I will tell you that in terms of these scams, they're going to sound really good. They're going to even sometimes get different people to call you. So there's rings of people. Oh, well, let me get my supervisor. Oh, well, let me tell, you know, it might be, oh, I'm a bank investigator and I'm going to get the FBI involved and the FBI is going to call you in 30 minutes. Scam.
Right.
Right. So if you have any doubt, trust your gut, call somebody. Do not, even your banker. Walk in. A good friend of mine at the chamber is a manager of one of the local banks. He said in the last 6 years, they've gone from one in a week, one per week to two per day. Go in and talk to the banker. Hey, and they're going to tell you, don't talk to anybody. I even had a friend tell me that they told him, don't hang up. Just put the phone in your pocket. So I can hear the teller, because we're investigating the teller.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So I can hear the teller and we can catch them.
Sounds so legitimate.
It does sound legitimate, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are. I get it. They're really good. They're really smooth. Those are red flags.
So, Rob, you know, if you do research online, any kind of research, looking for car insurance, house insurance, HELOC loan, or anything, you're looking at anything financial, and within minutes, you start getting phone calls.
Yep.
And that network can often be mixed with so many different options that fraud, I'm sure, works in that as well. And I have just become, I will say, gun shy to the point where if someone calls, oh, yeah, we're calling, you know, from such and such, maybe it's a company I have a card with or something else, and we're verifying information. And even people that maybe I am in relationship with, I tell them now, I don't talk to anyone about anything personal unless I have made the phone call.
Right.
And it's crazy that we're to a place like that, but that's just where I am. I don't talk finances. I'm not going to talk socials. I'm not going to talk addresses. I'm not going to talk who's in my house. I'm not going to talk any of that unless I made the phone call. If I want to talk to you, I'll call you. If I need to talk to that bank, then I'll call them. If not, I won't.
And I'll take that a step forward. Don't use the 800 or the 855 number.
Talk about that.
That's in the email or in the text.
Right? Unless it's actually on your card. Go to your card. Go to your paperwork. Pull that file out. Find out who your agent is, and don't talk to other people.
I would say the most reliable thing there is your, as you just pointed out, a statement from that company.
Yes.
Right? If you don't have a statement from that company, you can get on the internet, do it. Just make sure that you truly are on their website, because websites can also be hoaxed.
And they are now. And one of the major credit cards, it took me three times to get to the official
They
were wanting me to change my passwords, and like, no, I don't want to change my password. They were looking for personal information.
Real quick, and I know we're running out of time here, but there's one thing I want to, because a real big one right now is grandma, grandpa, I'm at the police department. I need bail money, right? And you've probably heard this one. And so that's just a setup, right? We're getting a lot of those in Florida. Here's the thing. Set up a family safe word. Now, I would caution you, do not use anything. I went to University of Idaho. I'm a vandal. That's a crazy word. You would think vandal would be a great safe word. But here's the problem. You can go on my Facebook page, and you know I'm a vandal.
Mm.
So here's the thing. Set up, find some obscure word that your family members know. So if you get a call, you say, what's the safe word? They him and ha, they start throwing 10, 20 different words out. It's not them.
It's good.
Right? So have a family safe word. Only your family knows. Don't post it. Don't do anything like that.
Karen, closing thoughts? We're running out of time.
Well, back to the AI, which every time the subject comes up, if it's too perfect, you know it's AI.
Hmm.
Like you're talking about the grammar and the spelling and all that. You know, it just sounds a little too perfect. Even the voices. I called somewhere the other day for something. I was checking at home, and the person that answered the phone, you know, hi, this is whatever. And I knew it was AI immediately. And I'm like, just hung that puppy right up.
And you've used that for music. You've used that for documents. And she's pulled that out and says, nope, that's AI because it's too perfect.
Yep.
And so much of that is showing up. Dave, any questions, thoughts?
No, well, what you're saying, I'm tracking right along with it. You know, my wife had a voicemail the other day. She doesn't check her mail, voicemail like I do. But I was going through and just cleaning it up. And there was one, it was someone calling and saying she had an accumulation of parking tickets and there was a warrant out. But if you called this number and paid a certain amount, you'd be okay.
Yep.
And, I mean, that was so obvious. She would never have responded to that. But the point is, stuff like that's going out.
Yep.
Around tax season, understand you have an outstanding debt, and we can help you take care of that. Bye. We're gone.
Yeah.
And my wife is careful to always just block. She's always blocking these calls.
Yep.
I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't have like half a dozen or a dozen calls that are unsolicited and are calls. I do not want to give them any information at all. Right. But it's a pain to block all those calls, but I don't know anything else to do. Eventually, I guess you maybe gain some ground.
Especially cell phones, they have apps now. And I think there's typically a free side to that app. So I don't want to say my cell phone. But there is an app directly from them, and they are tracking this stuff, and they are blocking calls.
That's excellent.
If you install the app on your phone,